Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18. King Yayati regains his youth, and text 1 is number of sons. So, and then we have a text we can read here. Shukadeva Goswami, text 1. Shukadeva Goswami, actually I'll read the... How many would like to hear the summary? Raise your hands. How many don't want to hear the summary? How many don't want to raise their hands? So we'll read the summary. King Ayati regains his youth. This chapter gives the history of King Ayati, the son of Nahusha. Among Ayati's five sons, the youngest son, Puru, accepted Yayati's invalidity. When Nahusha, who had six sons, was cursed to become a python, his eldest son, Yayati, took sannyas. Well, I guess if my father was cursed to become a python, I'd take sannyas too. Yeah, the person who cursed my father might curse me too, so get out while you can. And therefore the next son, Yayati, was enthroned as king. By providence, Yayati married the daughter of Shukracharya. Shukracharya was a brahmana and Yayati was a kshatriya, but Yayati married her nonetheless. Shukracharya's daughter, named Devayani, had a girlfriend named Sharmista, who was the daughter of Vrishaparva. King Ayati married Sharmista also. The history of this marriage is as follows. Once Sharmista was sporting in the water with thousands of her girlfriends, and Devayani was also there. When the young girl saw Lord Shiva seated on his bull with Uma, they immediately dressed themselves. But Sharmista mistakenly put on Devayani's clothes. Devayani became very angry, rebuked Sharmista, who also became very angry and responded by rebuking Devayani and throwing her into a well by chance. Oh, into a well. Be careful when you're dealing with ladies. By chance, King Yayati came to that well to drink water, and he found Devayani and rescued her. Thus, Devayani accepted Maharaj Yayati as her husband. Thereafter, Devayani, crying loudly, told her father about Sharmista's behavior. On hearing of this incident, Shukracharya was very angry and wanted to chastise Vrishaparva, Sharmista's father. Vrishaparva, however, satisfied Shukracharya by offering Sharmista as Devayani's maidservant. Thus, Sharmista, as the maidservant of Devayani, also went to the house of Devayani's husband. When Sharmista found her friend Devayani with a son, she also desired to have a son. Therefore, at the proper time for conception, she also requested Maharaj Yayati for sex. When Sharmista became pregnant also, Devayani was very auspicious, envious. In great anger, she immediately left for her father's house and told her father everything. Shukracharya again became angry and cursed Yayati to become old. But when Yayati begged Shukracharya to be merciful to him, Shukracharya gave him the benediction that he could transfer his old age and invalidity to some young man. Yayati exchanged his old age for the youth of his youngest son, Puru, and thus he was able to enjoy with young girls. Text 1. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, as the invited soul has six senses, King Nahusha had six sons named Yayati, Yayati, Samyati, Ayati, Viyati, and Kriti. Kriti was the only one out. Everyone else had a yati to them. So if you want to remember his six sons, it's easy. Yati, Yayati, Samyati, Ayati, Viyati, and Kriti. Kriti is a hard one to remember. Raja, text two. Rajam naichad yati pitra pitra datam tat pari namavit yatra paravishta purusha atmanam nava budyate. Rajam, the kingdom. Na aichat, did not accept. Yati, the eldest son. Yati, Pitra, by his father. Datam, offered. Tat parinamavit, knowing the result of becoming powerful as a king. Yatra, wherein, pravishta, having entered, purusha, such a person, atmanam, self-realization, na, not, avibhudyate, will take seriously and understand. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one enters the post of king or head of the government, one cannot understand the meaning of self-realization. Knowing this, Yati, the eldest son of Nahusha, did not accept the power to rule, although it was offered by his father. Purport. Self-realization is the prime objective of human civilization and is regarded seriously by those who are situated in the mode of goodness and have developed the brahmanical qualities. Kshatriyas are generally endowed with material qualities conducive to gaining material wealth and enjoying sense gratification. But those who are spiritually advanced are not interested in material affluence. Indeed, they accept only the bare necessities for a life of spiritual advancement and self-realization. It is specifically mentioned here that if one enters political life, especially in the modern day, one loses the chance for human perfection. Nonetheless, one can obtain the highest perfection if he hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This hearing is described as Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Maharaj Pariksit was involved in politics, but because at the end of his life he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection very easily. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore suggested, stane stita shutigatam tanuvang manobir ye priyaso jita jitop yasi taistrilokyam. Regardless of one, whether one is in the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness, one regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam from the self-realized soul, one is free from the bondage of material involvement. This ninth canto is meant to take away the glamour of material existence from our ideal idea of material glamour, that now we're in Kali Yuga and things are not very pleasant. The flowers, as we can see, don't have any aroma. They're more or less like plastic flowers. Most of them. The food sometimes doesn't have any taste. As I mentioned, there's a breakfast cereal very famous in America called shredded wheat. I don't know if you ever, probably never heard of it. Probably have it in India though. No? It's just kind of like wheat, and it's like in little balls or something. It's like in squares, rectangles. Anyhow, so they decided to test the nutritional value of the shredded wheat to rats to see what would happen if they ate the shredded wheat. So they put the box of shredded wheat in the cage of the rats, and the rats ate the box and left the shredded wheat. Because they knew where the nutrition actually was. It wasn't in the shredded wheat. It was in the box. If there was any nutrition. So this is Kali Yuga. And we're thinking, oh, if only I was in Satya Yuga, then I could actually be happy and enjoy. Or if I was in some heavenly planet, in the Nanda Kandana Faras or the Apsaras, then life would be good. But here we find, because we haven't come to the part, that even if you become a great king in Treta Yuga or in some other yuga, it's possible that you could be cursed to become a python. So who'd want to be a python in Satya Yuga? Or you might become cursed in some other way. That Sharmista, as we heard in the summary, picked up Devayani because she had taken her clothes. I hope they don't have that problem in the ashram. Luckily, we don't have any wells around here to get thrown into. Just by changing clothes. I mean, when I joined the movement, we had one bin. And everyone, after the laundry was done, by, like, even we had a small temple, maybe 7 or 8 devotees in it, all men. So everyone would throw their dirty clothes in the laundry, and someone would go out to the laundry machine and do the washing, and come back, and everyone would just take out of the basket. No one had their own clothes. But here we find that sometimes someone is so attached, and these are not ordinary persons. These are persons in another yuga with much more brahminical qualifications than we have. And yet, by a little problem, they become so disturbed, they're throwing their friends into a well, naked. So what to speak in this age? What can we expect? In any case, here it says, in this particular verse, that, generally speaking, even if you're in an exalted position, such as a kshatriya, and kshatriyas were able to fight on the battlefield fearlessly. They weren't in the bodily concept of life. When we hear about activities, we should also try and remember what the consciousness behind the activity is. Because in this age, people go out and they fight it because they're crazy. They just, maybe they take intoxication or something, or they give them some pills that make them hyper, some kind of speed or something. So they go out and they're not even aware of what's going on. But in these previous ages, they didn't have to give the warriors some kind of amphetamines or something to get them to go and fight. So they're naturally, because of their consciousness was beyond the material consciousness, therefore they could fight with fearlessness because they didn't identify themselves with their gross or their subtle body. Like when the demigods fought against the demons on the shore of the ocean of milk, sometimes the one party would be killed, but they were so enthusiastic to fight that even they came back as ghosts in their subtle body, they would pick up their gross body and continue the fighting. I mean, that's enthusiasm for the fight. Could you imagine getting killed and you're so enthusiastic to continue the fighting, you can actually pick up your gross body and continue on with the fighting, even in your ghostly body? So they were on a different platform of consciousness. Still, here it also mentions that our consciousness can be affected even when we're highly elevated by the wrong consciousness. Then we can become affected by other consciousness. Even when we're trying to do our duty, just like the kshatriyas, they generally have to deal with, well, first of all, when you're fighting on a battlefield, you probably don't wash your hands after you kill each opponent. So cleanliness is not the top priority when you're killing. Even you get some blood on your hands, still you don't time out, I gotta wash my hands. Don't want to contaminate anyone else on the battlefield. So when you're fighting or you're killing animals, because as we find even Maharaj Yudhisthira and Arjuna, they were killing animals, even little deer. Could you imagine going out and killing Bambi? You know who Bambi is? You've heard of Bambi? No, that's good. You've never heard of Bambi? What's that? Bambi, the little deer. So, who could go out, you know, and kill Bambi? Or her mother? It's even worse, killing the mother. And what would Bambi do? But Arjuna and Krishna, they went out and killed deer, they killed porcupines. They killed rhinoceroses and tigers and lions because they had to practice fighting. So what kind of consciousness were they in? They were beyond the material consciousness because they understood that this was going to be offered in sacrifice. And therefore the animals would actually be benefited. There's nothing for a kshatriya to do that's better for an animal than to kill it and offer it in sacrifice, because then it gets the opportunity to get a human form of life. So it's out of mercy that one will do such a thing. But if we did it, because we don't have such conviction, nor do we know how to perform a sacrifice that would give the animal a human form of life, therefore, necessarily, we'd be in a different consciousness. And it would affect us. It would affect our consciousness, such activity. As a matter of fact, whatever we do affects our activity, our consciousness. If we're too lazy to get up and wash our hands before we eat, then when we're eating, it affects our consciousness. We'll feel guilty. Why didn't I wash my hands? It's all right. Why didn't I just make the effort, that much effort? And therefore, when we're eating, we'll feel guilty and we won't be able to eat properly. On the other hand, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is the most auspicious activity because that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that association puts us on a different level of pure consciousness. It doesn't, of course, we're sitting here, we're not doing anything. Maybe mentally we're wondering when the class is going to end. But we're not doing anything. We're supposed to be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore our consciousness has good association. As long as we actually try to hear. If we're sitting there and we're thinking about something else, prasadam, what I was dreaming about last night, what my schedule is for today, where I lost my pen. So we're thinking about many other things while we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're not associating with Bhagavatam because we actually associate through the process of consciousness, of hearing. Wherever our consciousness goes, that's really where our association is. But just by making some effort of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then stanesthita shrutigatam tanuvangmano bira, then there's no need to change our position. Because right now, in Kali Yuga, we have no position. So we don't have to change anything. We don't have to change who we are, or what we're doing, or a service, anything. We just have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with the right attitude. And the result is that if Krishna sees our sincerity, we actually want to understand the Bhagavatam, then he'll reveal to us the simplicity of it. Because it's actually quite simple. That everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Everyone has an opportunity to join Krishna and be eternally happy in their loving relationship with Krishna and his devotees. That's the whole Bhagavatam. So everyone, and all we do is have to hear it, try to understand it, so we accept that actually I am Krishna's eternal servant, And my goal of life is to join the loving pastimes with Radha and Krishna and their associates. And although I have a material body and I have to do so many things now, but I shouldn't forget that's my goal in life. And Srila Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said, that you should go around the world, which I used to do, and spread Krishna consciousness. But you should remember to make the goal of your life to go back to Godhead without any further delay. So we should remember that that's our goal. All these other things that we're encountering are just temporary bumps on the road. Just like in front of our temple now, we have bumps on the road. So if people didn't know that, and they go quickly over the road, they get a big bump. But they don't die. They can keep on going. But they'll know, hopefully they learn. So the next time they drive over the same bump, they'll go a little slower. So we may have so many bumps on the road, but we're going back to Krishna to live eternally in a loving relation with Krishna and his devotees. Be happy forever, unlimitedly happy. So we should remember that and not get too much disturbed over whatever situation we're in. Because anyone who took a material body in Kali Yuga, it wasn't meant to be a smooth ride. We may imagine that I'm so nice, I'm so pious, I'm those, so this and that. Why is there so many bumps on the road? Because the road is bumpy, that's why. And if you're expecting a smooth ride on a bumpy road, then you might as well, don't drive on the road. Just get off the road and don't do anything. But this is Kali Yuga, and it's not going to get any better because the bumps on the road are meant so that we can take Bhagavatam seriously and get over this illusory, sentimental idea that everything's going to be nice if I just make the right arrangements. It's never going to be nice. It'll only be nice as much as we become Krishna conscious. As much as we live our lives in Krishna consciousness, things will be nice. Like, just like in the back of his t-shirt, I think. What is it? Something about the problems start when the kirtan, stop, the problems start. Is that what it says? So we should remember that. And therefore, whatever our situation, try to chant, try to remember Krishna, try to see things in Krishna consciousness. Chanting is nice, but more than chanting, we should try to see things in Krishna consciousness, so that we'll actually understand what we're doing when we're chanting. Otherwise, we just chant like a parrot, and our minds wander because we don't really know what we're doing. We won't really cry out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, just like a child calling for its mother. There's a quality that has to be there for the chanting also. Not that I better chant, because otherwise I'll get in difficulty. No, the idea... We're not chanting, just not so we don't get into difficulty. We're chanting so we can develop love for Radha and Krishna and their associates. That's why we're chanting. And then there won't be any difficulty. Then we won't be affected by the external material world so much. Instead, we'll be utilizing the material world in a positive way, utilizing this existence we have now in the most advantageous, most productive way to help ourselves and others remember Krishna and go back to him, which is the only solution. It's the only success in life. Everything else is just a waste of time. It's not a complete waste of time if it helps us on the path to Krishna consciousness, but ultimately we shouldn't forget what the goal is. Otherwise, we'll become discouraged if we have some other goal. Everyone is supposed to become discouraged because that's what Kali Yuga is all about, to discourage everyone in order to inspire them to take shelter of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Related to this Stanasthita verse, What are the, because sometimes devotees or aspiring devotees are in a material situation that's not very conducive to Krishna consciousness. But, so what's the threshold where you need to change something externally, and what's the, between changing and tolerating? Or?
Well, if we chant Hare Krishna, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we worship the deities, we can serve devotees, we make the atmosphere spiritual, we can tolerate. And if there's some great impediment, we can't chant Hare Krishna especially, then maybe see if we can make some other arrangement. But if we can chant Hare Krishna, then Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't change anything because he was chanting Hare Krishna happily, in spite of the fact that he was underneath the foot of an elephant. He was put into a pit of poisonous snakes. He couldn't change anything anyhow. But anyhow, he tolerated and chanted Hare Krishna and was happy. So usually we're in a better situation than Prahlad Maharaj. Because even if we saw a snake, we'd faint. With the speak of having to be in a pit of them. So Krishna is usually not putting us into such great difficulty, but if there's something that's inconvenient, we can tolerate it if we can chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, trying to make too many arrangements to get out of an inconvenient situation usually is very inconvenient in itself. To make an arrangement to get out of an inconvenient situation usually causes more inconvenience than the inconvenient situation. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Stane sita shruti katam tanuvang manobhira. If you can remain in your position, if you can simply, with your body, mind, and words, serve Krishna, then there's no problem. Hear from the Vedas, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and put into practice with your body, mind, and words, then Krishna will give you his mercy, and that's the aim of whatever we're doing. Get Krishna's mercy. Anything else? Khala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.